And it's funny because we need that reminder, don't we? There's really only two types of people here in this room. And it is the type of person that forgets to be thankful when things are going good. And there's a type of person that forgets to be thankful when things are bad. And so we're going to touch on those two topics this morning. Reminders to be thankful through blessing. Reminders to be thankful in the midst of trial. Which one are you? Which one tempts you greater? Is it the trials where you find yourself focused on the trial and what's happening and forget that God is in it and forget to give thanks to God for that which he has given you? Or is it times when things are going well and you forget to thank God then? We're going to look into two of those things. God is the source of all blessing. He is the source of all blessing, and we must be thankful to him. So my task this morning is to just consider quickly, what does it mean to be thankful in times of blessing? Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 9 this morning. I know, I've only got 15 minutes, and I thought two long, detailed, complex chapters in the Old Testament would be perfect for that time slot. And so we'll get started on that right now. Don't worry. What's the context here? Deuteronomy is a book that's written by Moses as he is almost rewriting and reminding the people as they're about to enter the promised land. They've wandered for 40 years. A generation has been lost because of their unbelief. And now Joshua and Caleb are about to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses is reminding them of some things. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he begins to list how great this place is going to be. And we're going to skip to verse 10 for the sake of time as he summarizes and says, "You shall eat and be full. Eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Think about the anticipation that the Israelites are having. The joy, the excitement of, we're there, we're on the doorstep, I can see, I think that might be milk and honey flowing over there. I'm looking forward to this. There's a blessing that's about to be enjoyed. And Moses is reminding them of two things. What leads us, what causes us to forget God in times of blessing? I think it's two lies. Two lies that we tell ourselves that I think we see the nation of Israel being warned not to do. We also see them do this. And I want to just take a look at that. First of all, let's take a look at same passage here, verse 11. Here's where Moses reminds them. He says, first of all, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses to live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The first lie that we tell ourselves is that I did this. In times of blessing, when things have been multiplied to us, whatever that may be, Moses lists a broad category here, doesn't it? Houses, personal wealth, flocks, whatever it is, your job is multiplying. There's produce in the refrigerator. There's blessing to be had. Our health is good, perhaps. All of these blessings are being enjoyed, and Moses reminds us, the Word of God reminds us, that is the moment when we are tempted to assume that we did this. It's because of my power I have gained these things. This is pride. Pride tends to forget reality. Deuteronomy 8:14 says, your heart will be lifted and you will forget the Lord your God. Pride, it's often when we experience blessing or plenty or this fullness that Moses was talking about that we are tempted to elevate ourselves. We lift ourselves up. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might have gotten me this wealth. Think about when we give gifts to our children, right? What is the number one reason why parents give things to their kids? It's so that we can take them away, right? No, my kids are in here, I think. That's not exactly true, but it's kind of true. No, think about that, right? Those of you who have had kids and you give them a Christmas present and you say, here, this is yours. You may have this. And then there's a season of time where it's not, shouldn't be used, or maybe it's a consequence and we have to take it away. And we often hear as they're young, but that's mine. No, I gave that to you. And there's a forgetfulness that happens there. And often, like children, we forget the blessings of our Heavenly Father. We look around, we see the blessings, but we start to assume that it's because of something I did that earned me these things. What blessings in your life are you tempted to take credit for? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you your power. He who gives you power to get wealth, that he, why? Why does God do this? Why does God bless us? Why did God bless the nation of Israel? So that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God blesses you so that you can show others how good he is. So that your life, and I'm not talking just about material blessings. This is not health and wealth gospel here. But God gives you the resources. Everything you have, anything you have, is to be used to give God glory. And then not take credit and say, I did this. There's another lie. The first lie is, I did this. I accomplished this on my own. The second lie that I think we tell ourselves is that I deserve this. Take a look at chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. The nation of Israel is going in to do some battling. They're going in to the nation, the land of Canaan, and we have the Canaanites and a lot of other ites in there. And they're going in, and they're going to have to do some battle. And we know the story where they go to Jericho first, and there's great victory there. And then right after that, they assume that they can do this. I mean, they're already forgetting that God has given them the victory there. And they go to Ai, and because of sin in the camp, they've disobeyed God. They have to learn a pretty hard lesson. But they're going to go in and do some battle. They're going to go in and shed blood for this place, this land of blessing. Again, another temptation to assume that they won this victory, right? But in Deuteronomy 9, Moses is telling them, you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to purge this land. And why are you doing this? Take a look at verse 4. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord God has thrust them out before you. Just the picture of the nation of Israel going into this land and claiming it and God pushing out their enemies before them. Do not say in your heart, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Verse 5, not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going to possess their land. But because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Again, God just wants to prove his faithfulness. Look at verse 6. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Whew! There's no moments there. It's God brought you out, and you've been complaining this whole trip. Some of you parents can relate to that. I have a 12-hour drive coming up this Christmas. We'll see how that goes. I will pull this car right over. This is Moses. I'm going to pull this over. That's what he's saying. You don't assume that you deserve this great blessing that God is about to give you. You have been rebellious from day one. It's easy, as it would be for the people of Israel, to be tempted to assume that they accomplished this blessing themselves. They too would be tempted to assume that because of that, because the blessing was theirs, that they earned it somehow, that they were the reason why God was giving them. No, God was establishing his righteousness, not theirs, his. And he was lovingly blessing this people so that he could accomplish his plan, not so that he could make them feel good about themselves. Now, we can feel good about our position in Christ. Don't get me wrong there. But it's only because of what God has done. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because God is good. They were tempted, and we see them do this down the line as we study the nation of Israel. They start to look down on those other people groups in that area, some of whom that they should have been driven out from day one. And they start to assume they're better than, and even as we fast forward to the time of Christ, now they're looking down on the Samaritans, and they're calling them dogs. And they're walking around in self-righteous robes of extra law, and they're just congratulating themselves, the Pharisees, on how good they're doing at keeping God's law, and they've forgotten, and they assume that they are the reason why they deserve good things. Just review real quick. Look at verse 4. Don't say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness. Verse 6. It is not because of your righteousness. You are a stubborn people. God was doing this to establish his. Verse 7. Why? That he may confirm to the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham. Confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Christians, this rings true for us. These two lies, I did this and I deserve this, are lies that we are tempted to assume, to believe, to tell ourselves when life is going well. Or when, maybe even when just one corner of our lives is going well, we say, well, at least I got that right. And this is, don't hear this as a message of discouragement. What I'm not saying is everyone is worthless. What I'm saying is that as we recognize how great God is and how powerless and unrighteous we are, we can rejoice and be thankful for all of the blessings. In fact, we start to see how many blessings we actually have. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. Thank God. Who are you tempted to think you're better than? Is there anyone that you would say God thinks less of than you? James chapter 2 says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one that wears fine clothing and say, you, sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, you have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? When we start to assume or believe the lie that I deserve this, whatever thing is going well in my life or whatever blessing that I can I can identify, and we start to assume that I'm better than that, we're going to start looking down on other people, and that is opposite of how God operates. How do we apply this real quickly? Have the blessings that you enjoy tempted you to forget God? Number one application, don't assume that you did anything to gain the blessings you enjoy. The success at your job, the material benefits from that, or maybe your retirement account, the intellect, work ethic, stamina, or opportunity that you have there is all from God. God gives you the power to make wealth. The country you live in, the freedom you enjoy, your contributions to that, time served, votes cast, energy spent, your ability to do those things is only because God gave you that ability. Any outcome has to be attributed to God. Not by my power. Are you in good health? Your exercise, your special diet, the money that you have for food or the health insurance that you have, all of that are blessings from God. Thank Him for it. You didn't do anything to earn that. God gave you the power to do that. Don't assume you did anything to gain the blessings. Don't assume you deserve these blessings. God does not bless people depending on how good they are inherently. Joy comes through obedience, yes. And the Lord disciplines those who He loves. But the point is that God is making to Israel here and to us is that we deserve judgment. From day one, you have rebelled against me. Our sin has always plagued us. And it's nothing that we can get rid of on our own. We need the grace of God. And for that, we can be thankful. Don't assume that you... Or don't say to yourself, I go to church every week and so God blesses me. Or I read my Bible every day and so God blesses me. Or I don't sin like those other people do, so God blesses me. No, God, the good that you do, the victory that you have over sin is God's victory. He is thrusting that enemy out from before you to prove His righteousness. James chapter 1, verse 16. Just want to read some scripture as we think and meditate about this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one who you choose to bring near, to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all that ends all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas, the one who by His strength establishes the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow, the hills gird themselves with joy, the meadows clothe themselves with flocks, the valleys deck themselves with grain, they shout and sing together for joy. All of the blessings that we're going to give thanks to God for this week are because of Him. Praise God. Now they have a purpose, right? God said, I'm doing this to establish my righteousness. There are many people that are good examples of this, but we're going to watch a testimony now from Phil Starry, who I appreciate because of how he thinks about the different blessings that God has blessed him with in his life. So go ahead and watch this.
My name is Philip Starry, and Pastor Nate had came to me and asked if I would give a testimonial to a praise during a good time. And one instance that came to mind was Amanda and I were looking to purchase a bucket truck and chipper for the business, and we had started praying about that. It wasn't just for the business, but we wanted to be able to use it as a blessing. So that was something else we were praying about, that through this process, the Lord would not only bless our family and the business, but would allow us to bless others around us with this blessing. And the Lord opened doors for us to purchase this equipment. And not too long after that, about a year ago, we had the tornadoes that came through, and we were able to use this equipment to bless other folks during the tornado. But I would say the greatest part of the 3 days of volunteering was on the last day. We had 28 members of FBC donate their time and come and work alongside us.
Please stand with us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Praise you in heavenly.
Thank you, praise team, and thank you for bringing us before the throne of grace as we were singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise God who saved my soul. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Man, what a blessing to know that God has saved our souls if, in fact, we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for our personal salvation, believing that he died, was buried, and rose again. And that's what brings us together, is the fact that we are children of God. And if you don't know that truth, we invite you to come to Jesus today, and we want to help you with that. What a blessing to gather together on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. And we have so much for which to be thankful. And thank you, Pastor Nate, for teaching us this whole matter of being thankful in the good times. Sometimes we're tempted to think, hey, it's all about us, and that we did this. But we're reminded it's all because of God. And that's what causes us, it should cause us to be thankful. Last week, as we studied Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 down through chapter 5 and verse 10, I encouraged you to live out your theology. You know, when you're going through the challenges, the difficulties, the trials of this life, we're tempted to get self-focused. And I encourage you to remember that God is in the problem. He's up to something. He's up to something good. Find out where and how he's at work. Get involved in what he's doing and expect good effects. Live out what you believe. Go to the likes of the book of Philippians, the book of James. And another book I encourage you to study when you're going through the challenges was Psalms. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 138. We just read a few verses as we sang that song and closed out that last doxology. We've read a few verses from this passage, and we're going to review those here. But as you think of Thanksgiving, and Pastor Nate taught us to be thankful in the good times, lest we forget God, I want to encourage you to be thankful in the challenges, in the difficulties, in the trials that you face in this life. God has blessed you. And for that, you, we must be thankful. So I call your attention to this passage, and it'll allow this passage to change your perspective of your heart during the difficulties. It's a Psalm of David, and trials tend to cause us to focus upon ourselves. We tend to get withdrawn when we face the trials and the difficulties, and we focus on the trial, the difficulty, and how it's affecting us. And I think this psalm will help us to turn our attention to our great God. David, who went through many trials, he said this, "I give you thanks, O Lord." Verse 1. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart." Be thankful to God who has blessed you in all things, in all circumstances. Do so with your whole being. I think of the ball game that we watched yesterday, and nobody at our house just sat there and went, interesting. No, we're like, yes, yes, oh, no, I can't believe it. Oh, yes, pray. You know, yeah, we're excited about a touchdown, whatever it is, you know. We're just into it with our whole being. And that's what you have here in this verse, that we praise God, we give thanks to Him with our whole being. Let your heart inform the expressions of your worship. Before the gods, he goes on to say, I sing your praise. There are no other gods. So what's he saying here? He's saying that when you are in the midst of other people who are worshiping other gods or in the midst of other gods, give glory to God, the one and only God, the Almighty God. I bow down toward your holy temple. The idea here is to worship God in His way, on His terms, not on your terms. It's not what you prescribe for your worship. It's what He has prescribed in His word. You turn your heart to Him. Worship God on His terms and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. In thanksgiving, you worship Him. And the phrase here, give thanks, you won't believe this, but you can look it up if you want. The phrase give thanks literally means to physically hold out the hand as if you are throwing something, to give thanks. So it is appropriate to raise your hand in worship. I was really hesitant to do that for years, because I thought, oh, it's just calling attention to myself. I'm uncomfortable doing that. But as I studied this matter of worship and praise and worshiping with your whole being, I realized, you know what? It's appropriate to extend a hand in praise to God. It was awkward at first. But, to realize, oh, God, thank you. I'm giving you the glory and praise. That's what this word means. Give thanks, to extend a hand in worship. And to thank Him for His faithfulness, His truth, the fact that He is reliable. You can rely upon Him when you're going through whatever it is you face, the good times as well as the bad. For you, or because you have exalted all things, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God has exalted every expression of Himself, His name, all that He stands for, and His word as He has expressed it to you and me. And He is exalted above all things, His name and His word. We worship Him and thank Him, give Him thanks for everything that He is and who He is above everything else, which shows the importance of the word of God. And so don't minimize your time with God and His word. Don't just look at your time with God as just, okay, I got to get this done. You know, I got to have my quiet time. I got to read the Bible so that He will bless me. No, it's your time with God. Because He has exalted His name, His word, above everything else. So go to His word to hear what He has for you each and every day. Verse 3, on the day I called, you answered me. God answers your pleas. There's assurance that you're not just talking to the ceiling. He answers you. And my strength of my soul, you increased. God strengthens your inner being. And you know what? That's what you really need in the middle of difficulties, isn't it? You know, you go through the challenge, whatever it is, maybe a physical challenge. Maybe it's an illness or an injury. And we go through those things. And what we need during those times, yes, we need healing. But most of all, we need to be strengthened in our inner being. 1 Corinthians 4 says, though we waste away, yet inwardly we're renewed day by day. And so we need that strength in the middle of those difficulties. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. This reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. One day, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Right? One day that's going to happen, and the encouragement is for each one of us to do that now. All the kings of the earth are going to do that. They're going to realize Jesus is, in fact, our great God. All the kings are going to acknowledge that. You and I have an opportunity, even here and now, to acknowledge that He is our great God. For though the Lord, verse 6, is high, He regards the lowly. Though He is high, He regards the lowly, you and me. This in theology is called the condescension of God. He condescends. Though He is high and lifted up, and we just sang about that in the new doxology there, just praise God from whom all blessings flow. He is willing to bestow blessings upon you and me. Isn't that awesome? That just shows that He cares. He is not a God that some think just kind of got the ball rolling and then we're just up to our own devices. That deism kind of thinking. No, He is here. And He is involved in your life. And He cares during the challenges and the difficulties. And that just causes us to well up in praise. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Here it is. Even though you walk in the midst of trouble, you, O God, preserve my life. When you're going through the challenges and you're going through the difficulties, we're tempted. Pastor Nate talked about a couple lies. One of the lies that we're tempted, with which we are tempted in the middle of difficulties, is that, God, you are not good. That's a lie, right? That's what we're tempted to think. God, you're not good. And here's the second lie. That is, I deserve better. You kind of alluded to that too. You know, I deserve this. God, you're not good. I deserve better. That's a temptation. And yet, here in this verse, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, O God, you, of your difficulty, in the middle of whatever it is that you're facing, the challenge that you're facing, you realize, you know what? God is there. He's in the problem. He's up to something. He's up to something good. Find out where and how He's at work. Get involved in what He's doing and expect good effects. You preserve your life, my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. God is aware of what you're up against. He knows if there is someone against you or something that is against you, He knows about that. It may be none other than the devil himself, right? He knows that. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Whatever it is you go through, whatever the challenge is that you face, God is there, and He cares. And your right hand delivers me. He provides a way of escape so that you can bear up under the challenge, the difficulty, that trial, whatever it is. Verse 8. The Lord, this is great, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Think about that. God is at work in whatever it is that you face in your life. He's at work. And he promises in whatever that is to that it is for your good and for his glory. That's the promise. And we tend to get so focused on that. Oh, that's so painful. It's so difficult. I can't handle this. We get so focused on those things and we forget, you know what? God is in it. And to realize, you know what? He sees the big picture. He knows exactly what it is that he's trying to accomplish and desires to accomplish in your life. And you know what? In Romans 8:29, he says, if nothing else, what he's trying to do is he's trying to conform you to the likeness of his son, to make you more like Jesus. Now, if that's true, and it is, then you can be thankful for whatever it is that you're facing and going through. Do not, he goes on to say, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. If you're convinced that God is at work in the middle of whatever it is you're going through, you can be thankful. You can be thankful. God is at work in the trials and difficulties of your life. Do you believe that? We can trust him. You may not understand what God is doing, and so often we don't understand the whys, do we? You know, we just, oh, God, why? God, why? We may not know the reasons why, but knowing there are reasons, God's good reasons, makes all the difference. God, be assured that God is at work to accomplish his purpose for you, for eternity in his plan, and to work out his perfect plan to his honor and glory. We have a testimony of one of our ladies here in the church, Millie Hunsaker, and we've asked her if she would give her testimony here this morning in light of these truths.
Hi, I'm Millie Hunsaker, and I'm pleased to have this opportunity to share with you how God has been helping me through a major lifestyle change. Most of you are aware that 4 years ago during surgery, I became a paraplegic. As you might expect, it was quite a shock at first, but God has really helped transition me into this new way of living by providing for all of my needs. Okay. He started 50 years ago by giving me a wonderful Christian husband who's caring and kind, and then 3 daughters who are wonderful. And then he blessed us with the perfect aid. She helps with the laundry, is an impeccable housekeeper, and she's a Muslim. So I have the perfect opportunity to be a gentle, caring witness to her. Sometimes I wonder if maybe this lifestyle change came about partly for that reason, and I hope that if that's true, I do not fail our Lord. Being a paraplegic has required the purchase of a lot of expensive equipment besides goods and services. But God has graciously provided used equipment in almost every case. In fact, 2 vans instead of one. We needed the second one because somebody broadsided us and totaled the first one. Our vans are equipped with ramps that eject and retract automatically, so not just an ordinary van. I'm very thankful we could find them.
Sure.
This situation reminds me of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that is very reassuring. Also, This event has motivated me to study my Bible each day, not just read it. And it has encouraged me to pray more faithfully for those who need prayer. In addition, I'm more mindful that God's plan, will does not depend on our ability to understand. Also, it occurred to me recently that I'm grateful this event did not happen in the 1930s when I was born, but in 2016. Another plus, I now appreciate the blessing of taking short drives and shopping, even at the grocery store. Previously, I sometimes thought that a trip to Hawaii or driving the length of the Elkhant Highway or taking a cruise or going to Europe was exciting. But now I am content with much less, and I am much closer to God. In closing, I just want to thank each of you who has prayed for me through this time. I really appreciate it.
And we just rejoice in this, and thank you again, Phil and Millie are both here today, and their testimony is active. It's real. Their testimonies are alive. You know, God is good. God is good all the time. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever wonder about that, because through His Word, we learn these truths, are reminded of these truths. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to remind ourselves of these things, but carry these truths with you throughout the year. Today, this next week, Thanksgiving Day, but beyond. Through the days, weeks, and months, and years ahead. God is good. He is good all the time. And He is the one from whom all blessings flow. So regardless to your circumstances, whatever it is you're facing, regardless to what others do or don't do, regardless to how you feel, give thanks to God in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these reminders. We are a forgetful people. In the difficulties, we get so self-focused that we're tempted to think that you're not good. When we're going through the good times, we think that we're so good. And we need to be reminded that it's all about you. Cause us, Heavenly Father, to focus our attention, our hearts upon you in the good times as well as the difficulties, in all things, and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we continue. Thou God, see how all thine
We don't want to close this morning without giving you an opportunity to respond in your hearts. Thanksgiving in itself can change your heart. It turns your heart away from yourself to the glory of God. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're watching, listening online, we want to help you. I mentioned earlier that we praise God for our great salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You can't. We want to help you with that. But also, and we want to see you come to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, we want to help you with that. We encourage you to fill out a connection card. You can do that from right outside the doors here. Also, we have an offering receptacle, and you can place your connection card in the offering receptacle. We encourage our church family to give faithfully so we can continue our ministry, our message. But if you don't know Jesus, just check on there and say, I want to come to Jesus. If it's personal, private, check for pastors only. But for believers, I just encourage you to, again, take these truths to heart. And if we can help you and encourage you with this whole matter of Thanksgiving in the blessings as well as in the difficulties of life, we want to help you with that. So, Father, encourage every heart here today to be faithful in Thanksgiving. Again, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, one last time. Let's stand and sing together. At least 10,000 reasons to praise his name this morning. Let's sing.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Oh, I worship your name. Thank you. draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years in pain
Think of that final verse we just sang. And on that day, our faith will be sight. We will see. Just as the nation Israel was struggling through the wilderness and couldn't see 6 inches in front of their face. They couldn't see the blessing awaiting. They couldn't see the promise of our Heavenly Father. Father, help us this morning to see your promise. Help us to rest in that promise in the good times and in the bad. So we give you this week and pray that you'd be with our families as we celebrate Thanksgiving. I pray that first and foremost, we would be thankful to our Father, you, for our salvation. And so go with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.